All right, before this podcast starts, we are going to come to you with an offer, and this is something we have never done before. Are you fed up of sort of being out of shape, weaker and more deflated, believing nothing will work? We can sort of understand the frustration, time, energy and money that you've put into feeling and looking better over the years, but you just can't ever seem to get lasting results. You've tried everything and just nothing seems to work. Method to method, gym to gym, diet to diet, thinking you need the next best thing. You don't. You need education, support, accountability, and world-class coaching to get you there. And you deserve to see progress, find happiness, strength, and future freedom. And that's why we are bringing to you Results by Rebuild. Results by Rebuild is a 12-week program to change the course of your life in 2022. So Rebuild is offering 5 of podcast listeners a 12-week program to help them change their lives for the better. The complete package will include Rebuild's performance programming online, comprehensive nutrition coaching, which will result in you dropping body fat, increasing in muscle mass, and changing the way you approach life going forward. By only offering this to 5 people from the podcast, the package will enable the participants to enjoy comprehensive coaching and education programming. And within the 12-week block, participants will get 12 weeks Rebuild online programming, 12 weeks in-depth nutrition coaching, Rebuild's very own nutrition and accountability app, your very own one-on-one nutritionist and coach to guide you and hold your hand every step of the way. You will get unrivaled support and education and a community of people with a common purpose. So in 2022, let us educate you about nutrition so well that you will never need help again. And I say that and I mean it. And how do I know this? Because we have had thousands of people from across the world do exactly that. So let us give you your life back. So if you want to grab a spot, click the link in our podcast notes, book an initial consultation, and this is where we'll talk to you about your current situation and your desired situation and how we're going to get you there. Join the program, go through the nutrition program, and start getting the results you deserve. So like I said, 12 weeks to change your life in 2022. If you are interested, click the link in the show notes. This is not a sales pitch. We are only opening this up to 5 people. Enjoy the show.
Yeah.
All right. And welcome back to the Rebuild Health and Fitness podcast. This will be the last one for 2021. Am I right?
Yeah. Maybe. No.
Yes. This will be the last one for 2021. So it's our biannual question and answer. So when you ask questions, we answer them. We're going to keep it quite short, like we said, fairly succinct, if possible. As we know that you've got other stuff to do. So this is going to be short and sweet, and hopefully we can have a few laughs and educate each other. Well, we'll educate you. I don't think you're going to educate us from here, but
given the platform we're using, yep. Far away, Kate.
Are we going straight in? All right, yeah. We're straight in.
Dive in.
Well, I do want to talk about my dream a little bit, because that was fucking...
Do you?
No, it's short and succinct. Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay. Don't we have that button?
Was it wet?
No.
Don't want to know
about it. Could have gone that way.
Don't want to know about it.
It's not that kind of podcast.
Shame that for the dreams podcast after.
All right, we're jumping straight in. I'm fine, by the way. Thanks for asking.
No one cares.
Kay's here today, and she's been a little bit cocky because she's actually in the picture today.
Yes.
She usually stands behind the camera, but now we've invited her in.
Into the round table.
It's like a make-a-wish thing.
It's nice of the round table. I've been inducted.
Just Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Kate. Come into the camera shot.
Oh, come on. Thanks. Cool. All right. Let's fire away.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat, one from Zoe. Has James gotten more gains than Sean, or is it just me?
No. It's just you, Zoe. Yeah.
It's because Sean's trying to be a boxer now.
He needs to
lose all his weight.
I think it's my camera angles.
The camera, what is it, like, adds like 5 pounds. Just adds 5 pounds of lean muscle mass to me.
I'm not sure.
I'll puff myself up.
Don't spend years training in the gym trying to get bigger when you can just buy smaller clothes.
Yeah.
It's literally just a waste of time.
Is that the same with weight loss? Like, just buy the next size
up? Buy bigger clothes. Why not? Exactly.
All right, serious one. This one's from Kath. She says, how do you get to the next level of fitness? Is it just consistency and turning up each day, or do you have to do more, count calories, do extra workouts, runs, do capacity classes, etc.?
So a bit to unpack there, but a lot of it is goal dependent. Like, what does the next level of fitness actually mean to you? If that just means that you do want to perform better, like obviously Kath trains here, so if we can assume that Kath just wants to get a little bit stronger, improve her times and her metcons and feel a little bit more comfortable, then at the crux of things, it comes down to adhering to the progressive overload principle. So as she's progressing week by week, we need to ensure that she's trying to lift a little bit heavier. She's trying to push her pace a little bit more, and that added little bit of extra stress that we're adding onto her is going to cause her to adapt to that, which will take her over time to the next level. But that all comes down to being consistent, and it may mean taking a look at her nutrition and making some improvements there, how she manages her recovery. There are like, to get better as an athlete, there are a lot of things that go into it, but the progressive overload principle is the overarching thing that you need to adhere to get better at anything.
Yeah, you need to make sure that you're getting the right amount of volume with the right intensities, yeah, so you can have progressive overload. And this comes to, like, over long periods of time, like Sean said, your ability to show up day after day is the most important factor in terms of hypertrophy and strength. Before even going to necessarily have a look at nutrition, we know if you want to build muscle, training is the most important thing. So if we're making sure that we're getting enough volume with the right intensity and we're doing that consistently, then we'll be good to go. But we also know about volume over time. Our adaptive amount of volume we need to do to make progress does increase.
Yeah.
So say if you're doing 3 sessions per week and it's great and you're slowly building, but things start to slow down, it may mean at some point you must add in more volume. So that might be an extra set here, or maybe going to a 4th day. That might be something that you need to do.
And something that people like massively underestimate is just making their warm-up sets a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
Because like we spoke about, like, total volume, like if you're always warming up with an empty bar for your squats and you're building towards like 40, 50 kilos, make your warm-up sets around like 25 or 30. And just that extra little bit of volume, that extra little bit of like total will add on to the total tonnage of the session.
Yeah. And it depends what you're trying to get good at.
Yeah.
What she said there is in terms of like,
It's quite broad, like just overall sort of fitness, next levels of fitness. So it could mean a lot of things, but assuming.
Yeah.
What about stuff like a lot of members in this gym, their goal is to get pull-ups, and that's something like even me.
Is that you? Yeah.
A lot of members have the same goal. So that to me is the next level, is me hitting like body weight pull-ups without a band.
Yeah. So again, that'll just come with volume and consistently and progressive overloading your pulling movements.
Like going back, any pulling movements, so like any like dumbbell rows, bent over rows, lat pull downs, progressions, like banded pull ups, all that kind of stuff. If you improve on any pulling movement, it's going to make you that little bit stronger and get you a little bit closer to pull ups. And going from 0 pull ups to 1 pull up is like, it's hard. It's really hard and does take a lot of time, I think.
But that's the biggest achievement too, right? You've unlocked it.
Yeah. You get a feel for it. And like people, as they progress on in their training journeys, they probably massively underestimate the amount of time it takes to improve to a certain point, because everyone gets hung up on like newbie gains. Like, there is a point when you have come from like a deconditioned background, you've done no training before, and your first sort of like 12 months is the biggest strength gains you'll ever make in your life. You'll literally get stronger every week for a period of like sort of 8 to 12 months if you stay sort of consistent with your training. But from that point on, the gains you make are quite sort of marginal. And then when you get to like, you know, I've been sort of strength training for like, when was that? Started when I was 13, now 29. Don't want to do the math. But it's a long time. Long enough.
Yeah.
But like the gains I'll have to make if I really want to dial in, I'll have to put in very, very specific word. My training can't be as broad and inclusive as it is now. Like, if I want to focus on my bench, I'm going to have to do sort of 8 to 12 week pure bench focus program that will have to take away from my conditioning, my boxing, all that other stuff.
Yep. Can you just explain the principle for the people listening at home that may not
principle.
Be...
Yeah, it's like the said principle, like specific adaptation to impose demands. So it's like, if I want to get a strong bench press, then I need to do necessarily more benching. I'm not going to then go out for a run. I'm not going to then, if I want to compete in like a powerlifting competition, but I'm going out for a jog every second day, then my body's not going to know which way to adapt to and which way to pull to. So your body adapts to, yeah, that imposed demand of what you're doing. So if your goal is to get pull-ups, for example, like that was your only goal, you're going to get it a lot quicker if that's all you focused on, rather than if you focused on everything else.
Yeah. So do you think you should do one thing at a time, but what if you have five?
No, because that's not the way that sort of, if I go back to even just like CrossFit originally was necessarily designed, it's not to make you the best at any one thing. It's to make you as good as many things as possible and get stronger on those things. It's general physical preparedness training. Yeah.
It's like when you know, that old adage of like, we put a power lifter, a marathon runner, and a CrossFitter, and you make them do like the three varied events. Like you make them do
100 events.
Yeah. A deadlift, run a marathon, and fucking whatever you want. But will the CrossFitter win any of these specific events around the deadlifting or the run? Probably not. But they're going to become second.
Or first, yeah.
And they're going to be the sort of most consistently average performer, not excelling, but they've got the best overall capacity across broad domains.
And that's why if you wanted to go and powerlift, then you're probably better off going to powerlift. If like that's what you wanted to compete in, right? If that's what you wanted to compete in. But I like the fact that, you know, people can deadlift double their body weight, and they can also go and run 5 or 10K, and they can also do a pull-up, and they can also do a swim. Like, what's more impressive overall for the general population? I would very much say your ability to do everything. Yeah.
Next.
Cool. Any recommendations for podcasts or health accounts to follow? This one's from Caitlin Madigan.
Yeah, Rebuild Health and Fitness.
Sean at Rebuild.
Coach Sean _Rebuild.
Andrew Huberman podcast. That's very, I know it's very sciencey, but it's very good. He has a lot of really good guests, experts in their field that dive into a wide range of health fitness topics, like from sleep to, you know, what happens when you expose yourself to sunlight, training stresses, all that kind of stuff. Again, it's very deep into it. James Smith's podcast is good.
He has some really good ones.
Yeah.
Whose
podcast? Health and fitness podcast.
And accounts to follow. So Instagram too, I would say. I've got to mention Ross Edgley, right?
No.
He does have a good podcast, but...
Is it just about health? Because I really like that Modern Wisdom podcast.
Chris Williamson.
Yeah. He goes over like everything. Health as a whole, like an overarching. He's like a little bit of a British Joe Rogan in a way, but like he's... In terms of the way he can hold conversations, he's very into philosophy, so he speaks a lot on that. But that's a really good podcast. Some of the guests he has are amazing.
Yeah, so Chris, even the Mind Muscle Project as well. Like those type of podcasts aren't sort of specifically down the realm of like health and training. They sort of encompass it as a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Next.
Smashing through them. What are the plans for Rebuild in 2022, asks Jacob.
It's going to take over.
Take over.
2022 will be big for us. 2021 was extremely big for us in terms of business, in terms of growth, in terms of planning future growth. And I believe we've laid some huge foundations now.
Yeah.
To really get out there and start heading up the sort of top of that pyramid.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to put it all out there.
Yeah.
What we're doing. I'd rather just deliver.
But education though.
Yeah. Heaps of education. We've got a lot of education coming out. There's a lot of growth from the nutrition side of the business. Now the gym is running nicely and we've obviously hired full-time staff now at the gym. Obviously we've got you on board, Kate, doing a lot of our digital content, which takes a lot of time. So we've created like a really nice team here. It means we're going to start expanding the brand even bigger, and that's why I believe Rebuild will come again. Put it out there, like, we want Rebuild to become a household name within this industry.
Yeah,
that's a big goal, I know, but
okay, a few different locations by the end of the year.
Why not
This one's from me.
Oh god.
We were talking and we shared on the Instagram about when you're doing a lift and it's like, don't think about it, just do it. Do you have any tips for like snapping out of it? Because we had a few people today that were getting in their heads during the workouts.
Yes.
What would be your quickest tips?
Counting. So real simple one, like when people are preparing themselves for a heavy lift, they, by the time you're testing for a heavy lift, you're not really going to improve at the movement anymore.
That's why you're saying all the coaching's done at that point.
All the coaching's done at that point. It's just about the tests. And if you're constantly thinking about all the little nuanced things that should be pretty well ingrained at by the time testing is, you get in your head too much and you overthink it. So I think Sonny Webster mentioned it, and it really resonated with me and has helped a lot of people. But it's just when it's time to lift, start counting down. Doesn't matter like where you came down from. I tell people like 7, came down from 7, just a random number. They're like, oh, weird, 7. But I'm 1, you lift.
Yeah.
So 7, 6, 5, 1, you lift. Go.
I used to have a consistent, Brendan Clark used to, I used to have a consistent rest walk.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, say if I'm going 2 meters away from the wall, then I'd put my bar down, I would walk, I would touch the wall, I would walk back and I would pick it up. But then it's your ability to sort of build resilience enough to then pick that up. You can't count down and then fucking not do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're not building anything. In a workout today where it's like heavy conditioning, I also like people getting uncomfortable and getting in their own heads and struggling a little bit. Like that builds the level of resilience. You have to be naive and things have to be a little bit harder, right? Before they get easier again.
And catching yourself in sort of negative self-talk and probably more in conditioning and lifting as well. But like even on the bike yourself, sitting on it for 30 minutes, I was like, I could just stop now. It'd be so easy. I could let my RPMs drop. And that you are having these constant conversations with yourselves, but you've got to catch yourself and sort of reframe it right away.
It's like me in a driving range. I'll go to a driving range, get 100 balls right, and then I'll aim for something. And even if I scuff it like 100 meters the wrong way, I'll just pretend I aimed for that place.
Yeah.
I aimed over
there. That is a great shot.
That's where I was going. But in terms of like Olympic lifting or any sort of testing, you can't walk up to that bar. You cannot walk up to that bar with any negative self-talk. Yeah. Unless you are going to 100% fucking hit that lift, don't bother. Don't bother. No, walk away. Go and walk away for 5 minutes, come back. But you have to walk up to it with just this ability to just go, this is mine.
Full on belief. Like you see, people attempt a lift and they just miss it. And they're like, and you can just see it so it sort of click that they're like, oh, I can actually
I know
this.
What that feels like.
And then they nail it.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've gotten stronger in 3 minutes. If anything, they probably got a little bit weaker just from like the attempt itself.
Yeah.
Nice.
Next.
Be excited by testing too.
Yeah.
Like it's what we're here for. It's what we all try and get better. And some people don't necessarily believe in testing things like one rep maxes, do they? But I sort of do.
Yeah.
Like
an A.
I massively do. It's a really big, empowering way to fucking see if that you're improving. It's a really nice atmosphere whenever you're doing it and everyone's getting around each other and people are just lifting big weights.
Cheering. It's the best energy in the gym.
It's epic. If we go like, if we like did, and I believe in 3RMs and 5s, especially if you want to work out, say, baseline percentages, but after a while, you're not going to get beginners to do 1s, I understand that, but after a while, you are going to start doing 1s because I can tell you what's not exciting, doing a 5 rep max with everyone in front of you.
Yeah, super not fun.
Woo! Like, nah, let's test it. Let's see.
So Justine asks, do you have any hot tips for getting my baby to sleep during the night so I'm not sleepy while training?
Justine, who?
Hodgman.
What a fucking baby podcast, mate. Aren't these supposed to be 10 of our best questions?
You talk about the importance of sleep.
Babies are...
Yeah, but not when you have a baby.
Look, so what... The thing with quality sleep is you can't always control, like, your genuine sleep quality because you have kids and kids wake up during the night and they need you, but you can control your habits around your sleep schedule to give yourself the best chance of getting quality sleep. Like if you know you're going to get up a few times during the night, and look, this is with all sort of new parents as well, you can expect your sleep to be disruptive and it depends what sacrifices you're willing to make. Remember when like Leo was first born, I knew we were going to get up during the night. So had dinner rather than sit and watch TV, as we've mentioned previously, like how sort of detrimental that is to your sleep quality. Just wind down and go to bed. And that extra half an hour allows me to get into like my deeper stage of sleep earlier. And then even like we were lucky, like Leo like settles. He settled quite well, just have a feed and go back to bed. And I know for some people it's a bit more of a shit fight, but at least I was doing something positive within my control to improve the quality of my sleep in a scenario where I knew it would be interrupted, where people get into trouble and where sort of lose sympathy to an extent is hush shoes. If you're on your fucking phone and watching TV before you go to bed, waiting up at 11 o'clock at night and you know you're going to wake up another two times with your kid and then you want to get up and train at 5 o'clock in the morning, of course you're going to feel like shit.
Yeah. I think it's really tough. I think it's hard. I'd love to do, like, even put a whoop on someone like that's pregnant, that went through it too well. Because I believe, like, females going through two are just so adaptive. They're like incredible. I can adapt as a male. I don't speak for myself. There's fucking no chance I could do what, say, Jess did or what some of the mums do in this gym or we do. They would adapt to it, I reckon, over time. They'll adapt to the amount of sleep. But what's she asking? So she can train better?
Yeah, she needs to improve her sleep quality. Training,
yeah. Yeah, but the thing with Justine too is, I know a lot of people listening don't know Justine, but she's a champion in terms of, like, her training. Like, she's epic. But there's probably this is probably going to be like a 6 month period, right? Maybe a 9 month period, where she can just go in and move and maintain her mass and hopefully maybe get a little bit stronger. Maintaining muscle mass and maintaining fitness is an extremely easy thing to do if you just have the ability to show up. So maybe it's the fact that you just, to get hard, I never want to speak for females too much, like, cut yourself a little bit of slack and understand you're going to be tired and then just do the basics. Because 6 months out of Justine's athletic career is such a small part.
Yeah, and it can be a shift in focus for a certain amount of time as well. Like, Going in and trying to perform at your best when you're really tired is really difficult. But if you go in there with the mind frame of, I'm just having a little bit of a break today, I'm moving, I'm training with fun people and I enjoy this environment, I'm having this genuine hour for myself, then that turns the experience into a bit more of a positive one. If you go in going like, I'm not even going to lift close to what I should or what I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
What?
That's as good as answer as we can give for that.
Yeah, Justine was always late to our classes, so we hate Justine. No sympathy.
What question do your nutrition clients ask you the most? What do you get asked most as a nutritionist?
Oh, God.
Do you know what one of my hats broke before? One thing fucking winds me up is protein. What's a high protein this? What's a high protein snack?
Yeah.
I never had protein. Or I found this high protein water. People will find high protein anything. That's what I'm like. People are like leeches to like high protein. Like, I found this high protein aerosol can that high protein deodorant. It's like, just eat some protein, mate. Just eat some protein.
Wait. I'm vegetarian.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to get my protein up. So shouldn't I then, if there's like a chocolate cookie and there's a protein cookie, if I can get that extra 5 grams out of that cookie.
I don't necessarily agree, no.
No?
Not necessarily, no. I don't know. Some people might
Sean
say
looks it, very it, stressed.
It's the better option, but if you have a look at the calories
you're
on some
my
of them.
Client, so.
if you have a look on the calories of some of them, not necessarily. Like the protein version is probably sometimes a higher amount of calories than the other version. So it depends on what the goal is for the person.
Yeah.
Again, there's plenty of vegetarian or vegan protein options. Have more of that.
Yeah, you're just serving size is so small.
Yeah, and then people don't wonder why they're not satiated because they just snack so much. I must find higher protein snacks. No, you don't. Just eat big meals. We've spoken about this.
We've talked about this.
I think it changes all the time.
Yeah.
I think it changes. But the more we've done this, because a lot of people have come from, say, the podcast or from other people, the questions have changed and matured over time.
Yeah, a lot of it just comes with like, it's like steering them in the right direction. They'll ask certain questions or advice on certain areas and then it's like letting them sort of solve their own problems and being like, hey, let's, you know, try this. Well, what do you think of this? It's like, yep, sweet, let's give it a crack.
Or just, yeah.
Especially as education, their education gets better. The levels of questions they ask are, I don't know, not as simple or as basic as it used to be. It's like, how do I lose fat?
Yeah, weight's probably a big one as well. A lot of people ask about their weight and a lot of time I'm just like, relax. Like if your weight doesn't even change for 3 weeks, even though you're in a deficit, I won't change anything before a 3 week period of no loss. Like I'm just like, just chill out a little bit. Like Tiana this morning, she won't mind me talking about it. Like we're in a little bit of a cut before Christmas. So we're 3 weeks in, she's lost 3 kilos. Great, right? Great. But the drops she's having are like 800 grams at a time. And then she'll spike up, she'll maintain. So it doesn't actually feel like she's making the progress because her weight's going back up, maintaining, then going big and having these big drops. We can see, because you're weighing every day, these constant fluctuations. But if you're looking at that, you started this way, you're now this way. We are 21 days in and you've lost 3 kilos. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Relax a little bit. We're doing well.
Nice. I've gotten from Anonymous.
Is it you?
No. If your partner is, or a person, how do you respond when someone's, like, we're talking about education, so the people who listen to this podcast are quite high educated. How do you respond to someone who is maybe making some of those statements that are not as educated about, like, you know, these fad diets, or I just need to, because New Year's is coming up, so we're going to get a lot of those people in our lives.
Next podcast, red flags.
Yeah. If it's partners, it's difficult because you just don't want to tie yourself up in that mess. Partners giving each other advice around, like, sort of dieting protocols, it never ends well because they've got an idea that they think is good because they're trying to better themselves, which they are, which is great. And then partner goes, that's stupid, why are you trying that?
Yeah.
Sort of like they dig their heels in and then they're just going to do it anyway. If someone wants to try something like carnivore, fasting protocols, whatever, then for me, it's fine. Let's do it as well as we can. Try it and then see how you feel. If it doesn't work for you, sweet. At least you've tried it and you know, and we can introduce things along the way. I'd rather someone try a carnivore diet, one of those extreme methods, under decent guidance rather than trying to go it alone.
Which most of them will go it alone.
Yeah.
I think Sean's hit the nail on the head. It's just, you don't really have to say anything. You have no right or necessarily no need, even though the education is there. They haven't asked for it. So it's like me giving my unsolicited advice online, for example, and say, that's stupid, I'm not going to do that. They haven't asked for my opinion, therefore they don't need it. But what I will do is I will lead by example in the way that I eat. I will also be able to prove what I do works by thousands of testimonials and pictures and things. But in terms of partners, if someone comes in, I'm going to do this, it's like, well, I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
But we'll be here when it maybe not works. And again, but you will hope it does work for that person. As long as they then don't start selling it to their fucking mates, that's the problem, right? This worked for me, therefore you should try it. That's not how the world works. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And Rebirth also does vouchers for nutrition and online training. So if you know someone who needs that, then...
Do we do vouchers?
No.
We do vouchers. We do gift vouchers.
I don't think it's for nutrition.
It's for everything.
I thought it was personal training myself, but that's okay.
And massage and everything. Oh, don't. My God. We do vouchers. And last one.
I've got some.
Too. Oh. So it's top 10. All right. Oh. Hit us with yours.
I got one from the UK. It's like, but it says shopping in Tesco, which Tesco is like Woolworths or Coles.
Love UK supermarkets.
Is it true that they say if you walk around the outside of the shop, you're... make healthier choices? It's a weird question.
I think I get that.
I think I understand what they mean.
Shop around the outside of the supermarket.
The outside aisles.
Because the fridge and freezer. What? So not the, like...
What? So generally, like, the more, like, highly processed stuff is down the middle of the aisles.
Right, okay. All right, well, I'll go with this. A rule of thumb. If you're talking, like, the vegetables and the seafood and all that around the outside, and it may be healthier...
If you get further into the freezer...
Maybe, yeah. You start eating bleach and stuff on the back, on the far aisle.
Toilet paper.
But not always, because then you're saying everything in the aisles and everything tinned and packaged is poor. It's not. Look at you're a vegetarian. You're not going to get, where are you going to get your beans and legumes and stuff from?
Yeah, from the aisles.
You get them out of a can, right?
And the protein cookies.
That's what I mean. So they're that's it. So they're protected, they're put in, tins of tuna, you know, so there is really a lot of positives that can come from shopping in the aisles, especially in terms of price. Things are on the outside then usually more pricier, right? And then you've got to come into, like, the biopsychosocial model of, like, economics, like how much things actually cost as well to, like, your health ratio. So I get it. As a rule of thumb, walk around the outside first, but don't be scared to have a look at some nutrition packets in the middle. And I think learning how to actually read nutrition labels is really important. Heavy. But don't fear that. Everything that comes in a packet is not unhealthy. That's a very privileged way to live.
Yeah, just chuck some fruit and veg and then go nuts in the aisles.
Yeah, but make sure it's not pineapple. Make sure it's not tinned pineapple because they come from different pineapple trees. I got a pineapple growing in my garden. I got a pineapple tree. I was raking out my garden the other day. And I was like, what is that? We moved a leaf. I'm going to send you a picture. I have a pineapple. Only one singular pineapple.
Yeah, that's how they work.
Is that how it works?
Regenerate from the top.
From the top.
Yeah.
I have a pineapple.
So you've thrown that out the window and it's just like rooted into the ground. So
you'll get it for life now.
Oh, just more. It's, yeah, fuck. So go on anyway.
Delicious.
It was very exciting for me.
What else you got?
How often should you change your training program?
Depends.
Not as often as what. All right.
Not as often as
what you think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should do the same. If you're doing like, if I'm giving someone a gym program, say online, they're probably going to do very similar exercises in terms of their strength, at least for about anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks.
Yeah.
With elements of progressive overload. But if you're going in and changing your exercises consistently, then you're not going to get very good results. We can. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Simple. And then the last one I've got is, can you give me an elevator pitch for the best way to design a good nutrition program starting in January? I will.
Yeah, go on.
Go on. All right, then. What I would say here is go on Google, type in calorie calculator, find a calorie calculator. Why that you think is that? Start tracking your food. If you want it this simple, start tracking your food and start weighing in every single day, right? After 2 weeks, do you see your weight going up on a slight incline? If you do, drop your calories by 200. If you're maintaining and you want to lose weight, drop your calories by 100 or 200. If you're dropping rapidly, a fair bit of weight, then up your calories and try and find this sort of gauge, which is about a pound a week. Have your protein set at between 1.6 and 2 grams per kilo of body weight. That's all you need to worry about. If you're talking fat loss, hit your calories, nail your protein. Don't worry about your fats and carbohydrates.
Right. What's the elevator pitch?
That was it.
That was not an elevator pitch.
It is.
Read the question again.
60 seconds. Design. I just designed someone a nutrition plan in 60 seconds.
I thought it was an elevator pitch, which is a selling thing for our nutrition programs.
No, I don't want to sell them. That's the way. That's why I would go there, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Easiest way. Or you can just
sleep better.
You always got to bring in the sleep, right?
It's true, though. It's true that Sean knows what he's talking about.
But again,
didn't believe it before.
That's the simple way. Figure out how many calories that you need. Figure out if your weight is doing what you want it to do. Make sure you're getting sufficient protein. Let your fats and carbohydrates do as they want. Obviously, you don't have to track, but if you win the easiest way to get a result come January, then tracking is probably the most educational thing for you to do.
Well, last one I got is, how can I spend less time on my phone?
I am, after this, deactivating or deleting my rebuild, not my rebuild, my Instagram and my Facebook until I'm back at work on the 3rd of January.
Good. What are you going to do to keep yourself off it?
I don't know. Yeah, I've never been off it.
I heard this question the other day, and I thought it was like maybe it was like, oh, I forget who said it, but like the answer was like, do activities or live a life that's so good that you don't want to check your phone. So if you're planning to have like days or downtimes without your laptop or checking emails or anything like that, then make sure the activities you have planned for that day are really enjoyable, really engaging. Don't feel tempted to look at it.
I'm looking forward to it because I do enjoy scrolling as well. I'm not against it, but I'd like to be a little bit more present,
yeah,
if I can. I'd like to pick up a book instead of scrolling for half an hour. I'd like to do that maybe a little bit more throughout the day. Usually I'll pick a time to read. I'd just like to have a book there and go, I've got 50 minutes, I'll just go and do that. The time I'm worried about is when I'm having a poo.
Read on the toilet. That's what it's like, an age-old tradition of men. You know, newspaper to the toilet.
Remember when I was a kid? Oh, before mobiles and stuff, and that you would pick
a book.
You'd pick up like the back of like the bleach bottle, and you'd be like, "Cool."
Maybe you need more fiber if you've got that long in the toilet, though.
Don't talk to me about fiber. Don't talk to me about my bowels. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. Do you have any tips?
I just said mine. You just jumped on the back of it.
Oh,
listen to me.
No, that's it. I'll delete it and see. Yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah.
I've never done it before, so I'll fill you in next year if I'm still alive, if I'm still here. I might be in rehab. I don't know. Might just go and buy 10 iPhones and start fucking scrolling everywhere. We'll see how it goes. All right. Hopefully we answered some questions, a little bit longer than what I wanted it to be, but there you go. Enjoy the last one of the year.